Good morning, and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown, where we're here to remind you that such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity, so am I, and so it is. Because you are the opportunity for life to show up, then life is alive and well within you. And no power, goodness, or God would offer you that without giving you everything you need to live it well. And that's what this teaching and this center is all about, and that is discovering that wonderful power within us that allows us to live well, to grow, to come closer to the ideals of who we want to be and who we are, and to live in a way that growth is a constant and it moves as life changes around us. We change by growing to greater, deeper, more powerful human beings. To understand a little better of who we are, let me invite you to hear and to share with our Declaration of Principles, which is an excerpt from those written by Dr. Ernest Holmes, the founder of the Science of Mind. I believe in one God, one absolute power, and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love and creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life, in the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. So that being our faith statement, our beginning, our place to start to explore those ideas and to see, are they true for me? Are they the way it works in my life? And how do I learn to use that? With that as the starting place, we will move forward in our celebration today with great joy and great excitement as we explore more and more of these wonderful ideas. Next, we have a conversation, or a sharing, actually, by one of our practitioners. A practitioner, a licensed practitioner, is someone who has demonstrated they know this teaching, they know these ideas, and they put them to work in their lives in a rich and powerful way. And then they can also have demonstrated by actual experiences that they can use this teaching and help others in using this teaching to go forward with ease and with grace in their lives. So a licensed practitioner is someone who does that. Listen now as you hear from one of our licensed practitioners.
Good morning, CSL Midtown. I'm Reverend John, and I'm happy to be with you this morning. I'm going to be your practitioner of the day, and some of you may remember when I was a practitioner at CSL Midtown. I'm honored to be with you, and I want you to know if anyone needs some treatment work, to please feel free to reach out to me. You can reach me through Vance Blue, or you can find me on Facebook and message me. I'm going to start off with a reading today from You're a Badass Every Day by Jen Sincero. I think it's a cool little book to do classes with. On page 13, we're going to talk about confidence. Confidence is not something you need to acquire. It's already inside of you. It is you. You are born with all the confidence and self-esteem in the world. In the beginning, you accepted yourself fully. Thoughts of yourself stopped at I am. Later, our thoughts grew into I am screwed because I can't do anything right. Any doubts or judgments or fears you have about yourself were learned over time, and they are not your truth. They are just mental constructs. The truth is, you are perfect exactly as you are. You are made to be the you that is you, and there is no wrong way to be you, because even if you try to be someone else, you're still you. So shut your beautiful eyes Breathe into your beautiful body. Clear your beautiful mind. Feel the life force that is you. Revel in the spectacularly unique essence that is you and only you. Out of all the billions of humans coming and going over time, there is, was, and will always be only one of you. That is worth appreciating. That is worth celebrating. That is worth loving. So you are a perfect creation of God. Never forget, we were each first ideas in the mind of God, and we're now a manifestation of God. And there's nothing wrong with something God manifests. So let's take this time to go within. Let us close our eyes, and we do this symbolically to all the stuff going on out there. We refuse to let it influence us. We refuse to take it on as our truth when our eyes are closed. And let's all go into that upstairs room, that upstairs space, that room with a window. As we know, this is first cause. This is a space of spirit. This is where each of us started as an idea in the mind of God. This is the Big Bang. And knowing that each of us is a creation of the Creator, we are each made out of it. We each are imbued with every characteristic that it has. We are each love. We are each wisdom. We are each creativity. We are each perfectly healthy, just as the universe is healthy. And we are each prosperous. All those are possibilities for each one of us if we're not already embracing them now. And so we take this time to release any thoughts that block our good. And we reset our minds into the omnipotence of God, knowing there is nothing too difficult for the Creator to manifest, whether it's a thimble or a castle. And we choose to know our highest and best is always possible because we are resting in an unlimited amount of creative substance of God. We choose to activate this substance for our own behalves by programming our thoughts to be positive, to be uplifting, to be loving, to be inclusive, for we know these are the thoughts of God. We release thoughts that we're fearful or scared or based on fear. They simply do not serve. They are not the thoughts of God. They are the thoughts of our ego mind, the thoughts of the little chicken saying the sky has fallen. And so from this moment forward, this day, we hold fast and hold tight to knowing that all is possible for each one of us. There is nothing we can't manifest. We give our attention to that which we choose to bring into our experience, and we go out this day looking for evidence of its manifestation. We leave this service going forward with a mind full of hope and a heart full of love. And we know that indeed all is well as we release this to the universe. And together we say, and so it is. And I say to you, Namaste.
Close my eyes. I open my heart. I'll take a deep breath. Let the healing start. I lift my hands. I plant my feet. I let love in. I feel the beat that's calling us to rise. Rise. Spirit, rise up. Rise in me. Clear my mind. I'm here and now. In present time, I feel the and suns, lighting up the dark. Oh, we rise as one. Oh, rise, rise, spirit, rise up, rise in me.
Again. So we have been talking all month about rising higher or deeper in consciousness, with the idea that in doing that, we will raise our consciousness or we will reach a broader, bigger, more inclusive version of ourselves where we can really understand the bigger picture. I started out with the story of the little bug on a rug that could only see and understand the colors and the feelings of those things right around him until he remembered he could fly and lifted above and got to see the whole pattern. Last week, we talked about bumpy roads and how life can sometimes give us bumpy roads, especially on the way to growth. And when we've declared we are more, we're being more, we're living more, then suddenly those things in us which aren't matching our vision and view of ourselves start to show up. And sometimes it can be kind of bumpy as we stretch beyond our comfort zone. This week, we're talking about And Still I Rise. The idea is based on the beautiful poem by Maya Angelou. I say beautiful. It is. It's emotional. It's powerful. And it's a little disturbing because it really depicts some of the feelings and attitudes for African-American, particularly African-American women. And yet it contains this core of truth that says no matter what we are given, where we start out in life, regardless of what the obstacles may be, still I rise. There's still something within me that compels us and moves us to do greater, to be better, to be happier, to be more joyful. All of that is already within us, and sometimes we are just needing the push or the pull to rise to a better idea, to a greater idea of ourselves, to more joy, to more freedom, to more happiness, all of that. Well, there's a very interesting concept going around right now, and I'm kind of speaking to those of you right this moment who may think this all of this talk about rising higher and getting more inclusive in your consciousness or reaching out to a bigger awareness all sounds well and good, but today I'm dealing with something else, Bob. You know, I'm dealing with the pain of loss, or I'm dealing with someone that I know that has COVID, or someone that is caught, a family torn apart by politics. I mean, there all of these things are going on in the world around us, and they're in our face, and we have to deal with them. We can't just fly above it or attempt to and ignore it. We need to know and to feel and to recognize what is happening inside of me in response to these things. And that can be a real challenge and sometimes painful as well. So here's a concept that's been floating around. I've seen it in several places lately. And that is, what is in the way of you getting to where you're going, to becoming what you want to become? What if what is in the way is the way? Think about that a minute. What if that big challenge in front of you is the way to get to what you're after? One of the short and sometimes silly versions of that is you really want some time off, you're exhausted, you need a break, and you get sick. And sick, we often think of that as not a good thing, and yet it becomes the way to get that rest, the way to stop, the way to rejuvenate and grow and find that new joy, that greater sense of refreshment in our lives. And there are more, many, 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 many more. You know, the way is, I had an interesting conversation a while back with a chiropractor that I was working with. And she said, you know, you've been through a lot, and I have. You know, started out in a wonderful childhood, and then my father, well, it was wonderful and it was challenging at the same time. And then my father died when I was 7 years old. And I began to experience this feeling of being different, of not being like everyone else, as if everyone else had a father. But I began to think of myself as less than and not good enough, and think of all the ways and the reasons my life was not what it could be or should be because I didn't have a dad. And I grew up with that sense, and it permeated so many things in my life of that feeling of lack and loss and not enough and not good enough. And I had some pretty tough experiences with that later on and growing in my life. You know, and then I got hit with some disease issues when I was a young man and turning 30. And then I got hit with this or that. You know what I'm talking about. You've all had them. If you've been on the planet a while, you've had challenges of one kind or another that just seem to come up. And perhaps you've held on to, or they've stuck in your mind as being why you're not what you ought to be. I used to say to my uncle, you know, I was always late. I was always behind. That's just the way I am. Till he took me off and backed me up against a tree one day and said, look, you can be whatever you want to be. This is not the way you are. This is what you're learning. Stop it. And I kind of did. It took a while. But when we've had a lot of trauma in our lives or difficulty in our lives, it can pile up, it can interfere, and we can get stuck with it. And so it's hard to think about a life of joy, a life of freedom, a life of goodness. But what that chiropractor said to me that I thought was transforming, actually, at the time, this was a number of years ago, she said, you know, you've been through all of that. And it was difficult, and it was hard, and you've had to work hard to heal those ideas and those thoughts. And they're not all healed at that time. They're still not, probably. But what she said was, and you're still here. You're still able to laugh. You still are able to breathe. You still are able to feel life. You're still able to see someone you love or something you love and appreciate it. Beauty is still very real for you. All of the goodness of life is still available to me. It was then, it is now. And nothing that has happened has really taken that away except our beliefs that it has. And so believe me, this is not an easy thing to switch around for many people. But the more we focus on how it has interfered with our life, the more life seems to be interfered with. What you think on a regular basis determines your experience. It doesn't always determine the events that happen to you, but it determines your experience of them. It allows you to take whatever is being dished out from the world and from those around you and transform it into something where you still can recognize and honor the power of the good within it and within you. Maya Angelou is a beautiful example of taking a very difficult beginning in early years in her life and absolutely transforming it through her poetry in ways that transform people in the world. You have that power as well. You know, Byron Katie has a version of this where she says, when you realize that every stressful moment you experience is a gift, that points you to your own freedom. Let me say that again. When you realize that every stressful moment you experience is a gift that points you to your freedom, then life becomes very kind. And it may not be kind because the situations change, but it's because they have different meaning. We often say in the science of mind that, you know, spirit life does not do anything to us but for us, but for our great good. It only wants to live, as we said in the opening. It only wants an opportunity to live as you, through you. So it's providing you with the opportunities to bring a greater expression of yourself to bear on all of life for you. So what do you do with all that? Remember the rocky road we talked about last week? If you don't remember, you can find it on YouTube, Facebook, or send me an email and I'll send it to you. The rocky road was the idea that when you're bouncing around on those rocky roads, the more you push against it and hold on tight and tense up, the more soreness and pain and difficulty your body's going to have from the bouncing around. But if you can learn to relax and surrender into the bouncing around, trust the vehicle to not do you too much harm and allow it to just sort of toss you about as needed, When that happens, your body relaxes, you relax, and the whole rough, bouncy, bumpy ride can become fun again, like it was for you as a kid. Remember how much fun bouncing around in the car is? There's a particular driveway where near my grandson's work where when we take him to work, if my granddaughter's in the car, she always wants to go that way. Because when you turn in fast off the highway, you go over a hump and a bump, and you don't come off the ground, but it feels like you might. And it's so much fun. And to adults who are dealing with safety and being sure we're okay, it may not be so much fun. But that 10-year-old man, she loves it. It's like, woohoo, this is fun. It's like a thrill ride. So many things that we fight against and hold on to, we can find joy in, we can find fun in, and we can surrender to them in surrendering to the process instead of fighting against it. In some ways, this is similar to the almost same talk I've been doing all month. And that is that as we trust life to work through us for our greater good, we can relax and surrender into whatever is there and trust the process and move with it instead of against it. You know the story, you've heard it many times, you've heard versions of it, I'm sure, of the swimmer that's out in the ocean and the waves are beating him and beating him, and he's trying to fight to get back to the shore, and he's fighting, and he's going down, and he's going down again, and there's just the struggle is so intense, and people on the shore are trying to get to him, and finally he goes down for the third time, and he's down for a while, and people are concerned, maybe this is the end. But what happens is he relaxes. And when his body relaxes, it loses its density and becomes more of an object of flotation. And so he drifts up above the waves, and then the waves can simply carry him towards the shore. Now, I don't know if that's a true story. I heard it told as one, but who knows? But the idea, you get it. You know that when you get with a person who's drowning and they're flailing and they're fighting and they're trying to grab on to the rescuer, that unless they can relax, both people may drown. So the idea here is to take what is coming to you, recognize that it may be the way to what you're wanting and looking for, and flow with it. Trust the process. Get involved in doing your very best self-care, not by fighting against what's going on, but by working with it. We know the martial art idea that, you know, if someone's coming at you, don't come back at them with the same force, because it's just two forces against each other and somebody's going to get hurt, and really hurt. But if you want to really protect yourself, you take their force that's coming at you and use it and either let it go by or pull it by, and then you're the one who's in charge. So we don't need to push against all of this. See, here's the thing. All of our experiences are the opportunity for the good that is within you. Wait, Holmes says it like this. Let me read his quote. It will be much better. This power for good uses every part of my human experience. The joyous and the challenging, the pleasure and the pain, to guide me into deeper awareness and knowingness of itself, spirit, life, God, itself. In God, in life, in spirit, nothing is wasted. It's all one. It can't be wasted. In God, nothing is wasted. All of my life experiences are used by the power of good, the power of good enabling me to help others, to help myself, and to bless the whole world. That's the Science Mind textbook, page 434. See, nothing is wasted. Nothing is lost. So these things that happen to us that we think are outside are different or we're not connected to in any way because of the oneness principle and the oneness truth, that we are all in one great massive energy field and we're all sharing it and we're all made of it, then whatever is happening within that field, and it's connected, and it's not wasted, and it's not misused. It may be, you may dissipate it and send it off somewhere else for something else or someone else, but you don't do that by fighting it. You do that by recognizing it, by allowing it to come within. Now, that all sounds kind of maybe a little esoteric or a little disconnected from life. So let me tell you a little about how you do that. And you do that by surrendering to the event, the circumstance, and recognizing first that you're always more than any of your circumstances, more than any experience that has come to you. And then you turn to that knowledge and power within you and start asking questions about, so what am I thinking about this experience? What am I thinking about my life? If something has happened to me that seems to be being done to me, how much of my thinking is wrapped up in what's wrong with me or what's wrong with the world or that I am victimized or going to be victimized by this, that, or the other? We live in a world right now where we are being bombarded every day with fear, fear, fear. Be scared. Watch out. You're going to get hurt. They're going to do it to you. The other side's going to win. This side's going to win. It is horrendous. If you watch any Facebook much or news or any of that, you will see tons of this fear-mongering because fear and anger get clicks. Fear and anger in the news and in the other places is what attracts clicks. So we're getting hit with it all the time. So you need to take a step back and ask yourself, what do I really believe about this? Do I believe I am really in danger all the time? I used to believe that. I remember clearly the day that I suddenly realized that the world was a safe place for me. It was pretty amazing. I was in my hammock in the backyard watching and looking up and enjoying a cool fall afternoon, watching the leaves, some of them falling, some of them hanging on in their array of colors. And as I breathed in and breathed out, I realized that my breathing in was bringing oxygen and health and wonder into my life, and my breathing out was giving it back to the trees. And all of a sudden, I went, wait a minute, I'm not alone here. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't dangerous things that happen out there in the world. I've been in a few of those. But when I kept calm and kept clear in my mind, and when my thought was already so established in the idea that I am safe in the world, not even COVID did me any real harm. Not even a gang of teenagers on a dark street in a northern city that shall not be named did me any harm. They tried to scare me, and when I laughed, they realized I wasn't scared, and they weren't really interested in hurting me. And so we had a good laugh together, and then they hung around until the bus came and I could get out of there because I was not in the right neighborhood for my own safety. But I was safe. See, changing our thought will change our experience. Now, I'm not talking about wishing. I'm talking about really getting it in your heart and your mind that you live in a safe world, and we're in a safe world now and always. Even though there may be horrible things going on around you, there are ways that you know you can stand for those, stand up for those, and to stand up not to continue them. but to let things change through you. So change how you're thinking about it. Really examine your thoughts about safety, about fear, about what's happening in the world right now. Is this some horror that we're going to be stuck with forever? Or is it, as I believe, a great transition into a better world than we've ever been in? Because people are listening to each other. People, believe it or not, you're hearing something different on the news, but people are talking. People are listening. People are asking questions. People are getting to know their neighbors when they didn't before. And that's thanks to some of those things that got in the way. After 9/11, first time ever, I got on an airplane and I met all of the people around me. Because people were meeting each other and wanting to, and still do, wanting to get to know each other because we wanted to make sure we were all kind of safe. We had some understanding of who was around us. And that still goes on, and I love it. So change your thinking. Change your life. Change your experiences. The last part of the Declaration of Principles, which we don't read. This is the Declaration of Principles is very long. It would take way too long on a Sunday morning to use our time doing that. But here's what it says. There's a much later one. It says, we believe the ultimate goal of life to be complete emancipation from all discord of every nature. And that this goal is sure to be achieved by all. That means emancipation from your fears, from those things you may perceive to be closing you in and locking you down. Complete freedom from all of that is the goal of life. And life is already a gift to you. So it's already there and it's working through you to help you find and get to that place because you can. Heaven is within. Heaven is that sense of complete oneness, complete freedom, and complete peace and harmony and love. And that's there. It's available to us. It's available within us. So I want to close with a little excerpt of the last two stanzas of Maya Angelou's And Still I Rise. Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling, I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise, bringing the gifts that my ancestors gave. I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise, I rise, I rise. I invite you to do the same because you're wonderful. You deserve it, and you already have within you everything needed to do that. And so it is. And now join me, if you will, in a few moments of meditation. Breathing in, breathing out, allowing yourself to simply see what wanders through your mind. Some idea, something you feel trapped by, held back by, closed in by, bound by. Breathe right into that. And as you do that, recognize with me that you are a part of a divine power that is the same one that creates universes and planets and suns and beetles and bugs and everything in our world around us, the chair you're sitting in, the coffee you may be drinking. And as you sit in this and lie in the joy of it, know that there is that power within you that whatever the appearance of lack, limitation, holding you back, whatever you may have named, see it, know it as having no power over you because you're more than all of that. Open yourself to the idea. I open myself to the idea that I am God's opportunity to do something special and unique and to be something special and unique regardless of what I do. And as I settle into that, I allow the joy, the peace, the power, and the freedom to bubble up in me and out into the world. I am grateful for this. I let it be the truth because it is. And if you're in agreement, own it by saying with me, and so it is. Thank you. And now we'll hear from one of our board members regarding how to support this center, that we may continue our work and continue spreading this good news to anyone who wants to hear it. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Bob, for that awesome talk this morning. I know I am greatly inspired with every message that you give. And in that knowingness, I know that we are in a great spiritual community. And this is our time to give thanks, to give back. We have the opportunity to give back to where we're spiritually fed. It's an opportunity to expand this spiritual community that we're all a part of. And so you have the opportunity to give. You've got the link on the website, www.cslmidtown.org/donate. You can set up a recurring gift or do a one-time gift, whatever works for you. So now let's do our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now, on to announcements.
And it's time for everybody's favorite fun game, announcements, announcements, announcements. Hey, stay in touch with the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown through our newsletter. Get one email a week, letting you stay informed. And please subscribe when visiting YouTube to our YouTube channel. Those subscriptions go a long, long way. And while you're on your social media, why not give us a like and a share on Facebook? Let your friends know what we're doing. Invite them to come watch our services with you. And join us on our Zoom room throughout the week. We offer a variety of Zoom interaction opportunities each and every week here as part of the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. 10 a.m. Sunday is our discussion group around the 365 Science of Mind book every Sunday. 12 noon Sundays, our community fellowship immediately following our Sunday services, and 12 noon on Tuesday, our online empowerment opportunity. The access room information remains the same for all of our Zoom experiences. If you need access, please visit cslmidtown.org and you'll find access information on our website. Join us on any of our Zoom opportunities throughout the week. And while you're with us, be sure to connect with one of our professional practitioners. These are folks that are highly trained to support you along your spiritual journey. You can learn more on our website about our professional practitioners. Just head over to cslmidtown.org, click on About and Practitioners. Then you'll see their bios and a way to reach them and learn a little bit more about each of them. And please send us your prayer requests. Click on the Home tab and look for Affirmative Treatment Prayer Requests. Fill out the form, send it off, and get our professional practitioners praying for you each and every day. All right.
Thank you again for being with us today. I hope you found something meaningful, something to know, something to take home with you. or maybe if you're already home, to keep it home with you. Join me, if you will, in our closing affirmation of life. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Have a wonderful week. We'll talk next time.